Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
We have Fred Moskowitz with me here today, and we're going to be talking about note investing and everything associated with it. You can learn more about what Fred is up to by heading over to libertiesmanagement.com. Is that a good place, Fred?
No, best place would be fredmoskowitz.com.
Okay. I'll make sure to have that link in the show notes, fredmoskowitz.com. And with all of that, let's start things off in a very simple form, Fred. Could you talk a little bit about what you're referring to when you say note investing? And then I know you have a book about this, but where can they find that book?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with the first part of your question. What is note investing? So note investing, consider this. It's all about investing in the paper, which is the notes and mortgages associated with all these different properties, real estate. You know, Jack, lots of people love to invest in real estate, whether it's single family houses or commercial property or multifamily. But note investing is where we get to talk about investing in the paper, in the debt stack. And if you think about it, for most investors, just about every real estate transaction, most of them are purchased with some kind of financing. And so we can invest in the notes and mortgages associated with all those properties. And I've been in the real estate business for many, many years. And I find that note investing is a really interesting part of the real estate business. And a lot of real estate investors, they don't pay any attention to it. Most people, when you think of the note and a mortgage, you think about it from the perspective of being the borrower and not as being the lender. So how about if you consider note investing as a way for you to step across the aisle and become the bank, and then you transition from being the one making the monthly payments to being the one receiving the monthly payments. But what I love is that note investing, it's a great way to increase the predictability of your cash flow.
Well, can you kind of go into details on how that works out and maybe even go into the process or give us an example of one of these investments that you've recently made?
Yeah, absolutely. So with note investing, think about this. You can, as an individual investor, you can go and buy a note and mortgage on the secondary market. You can buy it from other investors. You can buy them from local banks, from hedge funds, from mortgage note funds. And you are outlaying your capital in return in the expectation of making a profit, receiving a rate of return. And so you are buying the debt, and now you will be assuming a contract that was entered into by the original lender. And so all the rights and terms and conditions, you will inherit those when you purchase the note. And now you're buying a payment stream. Now, what's interesting about the note investing industry is that mortgage notes are bought and sold at a discount for less than the amount owed on the debt. And so with that allows you to earn a rate of return on your capital. And so think about it in basic terms. You have an outlay of capital, and then in return for that, you're going to get a payment stream for however many months are left on the note. It might be 60 months or 360 months or anywhere in between, because the note can be sold at any time. And so that's what you're getting. And you're building cash flow and you're building payment streams one deal at a time. That's what note investing is all about.
You know, you just mentioned that these are bought and sold at a discount. Are they questionable notes, or are they risky in some way that we need to be aware of?
They can be. There's all kinds of notes. There are risky notes. There are safe notes and everything in between. And so it all comes down to understanding what your risk tolerance, and for each individual, it's different. For the level of experience you have, it's different. Like any type of investing, since we're talking about real estate, think about this. If you're a brand new real estate investor, you want to do fix and flip properties, well, wouldn't you go for your first deal and do something that's not too complicated, low risk? If there's any renovations that are needed on flip, they're minimal. You're not going to go and buy a property that requires a gut rehab and structural work and major work on the mechanical systems of the house. You'll start small. And then over time, you build up your expertise, your wherewithal, your knowledge, your skills, your relationships, and grow from there. And then you're comfortable taking on a little more risk, a little more speculative opportunities. And so this is the same in notes as well. When you start out, maybe you're buying low risk, super safe notes. However, as you evolve and grow as an investor with your experience, over time, you may be willing to take on a little more risk or a note that may have some problems that need to be fixed, and that's okay. Another way for someone to get started is you can invest in a note fund that's professionally managed, and it becomes a passive investment for the investors. I talk to a lot of investors. They come to me and say, Fred, I love the idea of note investing. It looks like a great business. I love the asset class. I've been paying on many notes all throughout my career. So I like the idea of owning notes, but it's a lot of work. There's management, there's risks. And what do you do if this happens? What do you do if that problem happens? And so in that case, a great option is investing in a note fund where the fund managers, they raise capital, they put together an offering very much like a real estate syndication, and then they will go out and buy the notes and manage the portfolio and pay back a passive income to the investors. And so there's all these different options and ways to get involved. But the big benefits of note investing is that you're in a real estate deal. You don't need to have the headaches and liability of managing the property because that's handled by the owner. And you're a lender, you're on title, you're in a secured position. And so you have safety, an element of safety backing your investment no matter what. And so for a lot of investors, it's very appealing. It's a great way for them. Maybe they don't want to own real estate, or maybe they did own real estate and they're looking to simplify their life. And so they'll start adding notes into the portfolio or note investment into a fund. And so there's no right or wrong answer. It comes down to, for each person, think about what are your goals and objectives? How much time do you have? What's your risk tolerance? And are you seeking to put your capital to work for you so that it's generating cash flow and income?
It almost sounds like there's a marketplace or something for these notes. Where does somebody find these to actually invest in?
Yes, there is definitely a marketplace. It's the secondary mortgage market, and it's really based on relationships. It's not a central location to look for notes. It's all done through relationships. And so what does that take? It takes being good at networking, being good at building relationships, meeting people, going out to real estate events and conferences. And there's even events and conferences that are focused on note investing that you can attend. And you go there and there's hundreds of note investors. And so you're in a room full of people looking to do transactions. And so it really takes that work of getting good at building relationships. And that's how you find notes. That's how you get access to notes. You build those relationships over time.
So with all of that being said, how does somebody determine if a note is the level of risk associated with it? What type of questions should they be asking? How do they analyze this as an opportunity?
Yeah, great question. This is the topic of due diligence, and it's something I cover extensively in my book. My book is called The Little Green Book of Note Investing, and in there are multiple chapters all dedicated to performing due diligence. I'll give you some of the highlights, Jack. It starts with looking at the note, the loan documents. Those are all legal documents. You review them. Are they in order? Are they complete? Then we look at the borrower profile. It's very similar to the way a bank underwrites a borrower when they're originating the loan. Credit score, what's their income and expenses on the property? What's the track record? Do they have a good credit history? Do they have a stable lifestyle? You look at all of these factors. Going beyond that, we look at the real estate market because ultimately that's the collateral securing your note. Is it in a rising real estate market or a level real estate market or declining? And you look at all of those factors. Something else to look at is the history and track record on the note. When you're buying a note, you're going to have an opportunity to review the payment history for going back many, many years. So you can look, does the payment history reflect 100% on-time payments every single month? Or is it a little more of a spotty pay history where there's a couple of 30-day lates or 60-day or 90-day lates here and there, but eventually the borrower gets caught back up again and you see it as a recurring pattern? Sometimes you see that with people have seasonal work where there's a season of the year they're super, super busy making a lot of money, and then another time where it gets slow, they can get behind, but they always have a way of getting caught up in the end. And so you look at all these pieces and elements and assemble an overall risk picture and profile for the note. And then based on that, that determines your pricing. It's like any other investment. If you want low risk, you're going to get a lower rate of return. And if you're interested in taking on a higher amount of risk, you could have a higher rate of return.
So is this a situation where you're kind of more of a secondary investor? Like the bank is going to be the first position and you're going to maybe be holding a second?
It could be. You could buy notes that are in that configuration, or you could buy notes that are in first position or third or fourth position. And that's all based on title, the order in which each lien was recorded on title at the county courthouse. And so that's something that you check and verify when you're buying the note. It's a basic question: is what position is the note in? Is it in first and second, third? And you can buy any of those. But the important thing is know what you're buying and verify it first, because it's on you as the investor to do that due diligence, because you shouldn't rely on what the seller says.
So, Fred, do you have a fund yourself, or is that how does somebody would work directly with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are many funds out there, all kinds. I talk to investors just about every day, and we talk about if they're interested in funds. We talk about different funds, different options, but there's not enough time for us to cover all that. There's just so many niches and options and opportunities out there, and it changes on a day-to-day basis. But I always love speaking with investors, talking about that, and getting to know a little more about what are your specific interests and needs and risk tolerance, and talking about that, because it always makes for a great conversation.
So is that what you do then? Are you acting as more of a consultant, or do you have a fund yourself?
I've had funds in the past. We have offerings all the time that open and close. It really varies, and doing consultations as well, and networking, building relationships, and education. It's a big part of what I do is education.
Okay. So head over to fredmoskowitz.com to learn a little bit more about how Fred can help you with this. And if you found some value in what we're talking about so far, do us a quick favor and share this with one of your investor friends. And this has been a great conversation, and I really would appreciate you giving us a thumbs up and subscribing if you're watching us on YouTube. So, Fred, you've probably have seen all aspects of this. Can you give me an example of like something that one of these investment opportunities didn't pan out the way you expected and what lessons you learned from it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the biggest unexpected surprises that I found was when I, thinking back to when I first got started in note investing, I bought a couple of small notes because I wasn't sure of myself. I didn't feel comfortable investing a lot of money in notes. So I bought a couple of small ones. And we're talking like loan balance of $4,000, loan balance of $6,000. These are secured notes with a mortgage and everything. It's just that the loan balance had become very small because over time it gets paid down and diminishes. And so the biggest learning lesson for me was this. I bought the notes. It worked out fine, but I didn't make a lot of money because the numbers were so small. And so I quickly learned that it takes the same amount of work and effort and expenses and headaches, all of that, to do a note that's $5,000. It takes the same amount that it does for a note that's $50,000 or $500,000. Same amount of work, same amount of expense. And so that's something I quickly learned, that the small notes don't spend time and effort and energy focusing on those. Go for something larger because the profits and returns relative to your overhead and your expenses and your time, right, our most valuable resource is time, it's going to be much better, much higher rate of returns for us. And so that was a big lesson for me that I learned early on in my first few deals.
Sure. Well, can you give me an example of how things are typical? Like what, or maybe even an example of one of your biggest wins?
Typical, huh? Well, I'll say this about typical. There is an element of randomness that exists in the note investment space. And that is that you never know when a note is going to pay off because the borrower is refinancing or they're selling the property. And so you might buy the note at a discount. Let's say we have a $100,000 note with a $100,000 loan balance. You are a great negotiator. You negotiated with the seller and you bought it for $90,000. So you got a discount of 10% on that note when you bought it. Now, keep in mind that the loan balance is still $100,000, but you bought it for $90,000. So let's say 6 months down the road, you buy the note, you get it situated. 6 months down the road, all this time goes by, you're receiving your monthly payments, and all of a sudden, there's an inquiry coming in from the title company saying, we need a payoff quote, the loan's being paid off and the property's being sold. You weren't expecting that, but that loan's going to be paid off in full at the loan balance of $100,000. So now you get your $90,000 back plus that discount amount comes in. It's the extra $10,000. And you got loan payments for the past 6 months or however many months. So all this comes in unexpected, unannounced. And you as the lender have to remember the borrower always has the right to pay off a loan in full anytime they want. So you can't control that or dictate that. But the thing to think about is even if a loan is for 20 years or 30 years, the average lifespan of a note in the United States of a residential mortgage, it's 5 to 7 years. Because why is that? Well, because life happens. People move. People need a larger house. They need a smaller house. They want to move into a better school district, or their kids are out of school and now they want to move somewhere warmer. All these things, it's life. And so it's a surprise that comes up is loans get paid off. And so if you're an investor, the biggest job that you have is when that money comes back in, you redeploy. You have to go back out to the marketplace and buy new notes, because the name of the game is keeping as much of your capital in play, invested, and placed out in the marketplace as close to 100% of the time that you can.
Well, can you give us an example of one of your biggest wins?
Well, some of my biggest wins were unexpected payoffs, just like the example I gave, just like that. Bought a note at a discount, and then a few months later, it gets paid off. And so some may say, oh, well, I did all that work, and now I got my money back, and I'm out of the investment. However, what about all that payoff that came in, and in a very short amount of time? So maybe you were expecting an 8% rate of return, but it happened all in the span of 3 months. So now your rate of return might have shot up to 16 or 17% when you annualize it. And so those are nice deals. You never know when they come, but when they do, that's great. And when the environment is such that there's a lot of refinancing going on, the activity on payoffs can be very high.
So this has been a really interesting conversation, and I'd be curious then, you know, based on what you're talking about, do you use some sort of loan servicing then? You buy these notes, and how do you manage it?
Absolutely. We use loan servicers. They are an essential vendor in this business. Loan servicers, what do they do? They will manage a note on behalf of the lender and handle all the day-to-day activities, whether we're talking about collecting the payments from the borrower, keeping track of the amortization schedule, keeping track of the accounting on the note, generating the tax forms at the end of the year that go out to the borrower that shows how much interest was paid. They will take phone calls from the borrower, respond to any inquiries that come in. If the loan is going to be paid off, then the servicer will generate a payoff quote and coordinate with the title and escrow company as needed to handle that and then release the lien. And so loan servicers handle so much for us as investors, and it's crucial. Handle the compliance, the notices and letters that have to be sent out required for compliance. There's a lot of it, especially when it's consumer loans. And they do all of this for a very low cost. On average, it will cost between $15 and $30 a month per note for servicing. And so that's what allows us as investors to scale up into a large portfolio. So we can handle hundreds of notes or thousands of notes when you're using a professional loan servicer. So that's a great question, Jack. I love that. And yes, that's one of the most critical vendor relationships that is required to be successful in this business.
So this sounds almost too good to be true in some aspects. So what are some of the pitfalls or people should be aware of? That let's not paint such a rosy picture here.
Yeah, absolutely. Pitfalls can come from so many places. There are always going to be threats to a lien, to someone's equitable interest in a property, to a lender's position or property. Threats to lien can come in many forms, such as unpaid property taxes or lack of insurance if the insurance policy is not renewed. Homeowners association liens if the property is located in a place that has a homeowners association. So these are all liens that can jump ahead of position of a mortgage. And so this is why a lot of lenders, when you take out a mortgage, they're going to require in the loan documents that you're escrowing for taxes and insurance and homeowners association. And that way the lender collects all those and then they'll pay them on behalf of the owner. And that way they make sure they're always paid. And the lender always has the right, if any of these go unpaid, they have the right to pay them, reinstate taxes, or buy an insurance policy and add that right to the loan balance. You'll see that as standard clauses in any loan documents. And so those are the biggest ones. It's threats to the lien. However, if you have good practices, good systems in place to manage all of that, then that's how you can handle a portfolio. Other threats, other pitfalls can be if there's a loan default from the part of the borrower on making payments. How is that handled? Do you have a servicing team in place to work with that and handle those situations? Other pitfalls can be not having good due diligence practices, where maybe you missed a flaw, you missed an issue prior to buying a note, but then you went and bought it. Now the problem's yours and you have to deal with that. And so having a good, solid due diligence process is important, and proper team structured around you to help you to provide support, information, everything that you need. This is why loan note funds can be a great option for someone getting started, because all of that is handled by the fund managers and their team. They handle all of this, and for the investor, you get to participate as a passive investor, and now you're leveraging the expertise, the experience, the relationships, the access to notes that the fund managers have, and it provides an added level of support and redundance to protect the investor's position.
Sure. Just one more time, remind you to head over to fredmoskowitz.com. That's going to be a clickable link in the show notes.
Yep.
And I'm going to ask one last question regarding this topic, Fred, before we jump into rapid fire questions and end out this episode. But, you know, you've talked about buying these notes at a discount. What is the actual incentive there for the sellers to sell them at a discount?
Great question. The incentive is liquidity. It's like any investment. Why does an investor that has an asset that's a nice asset, it's generating income, why would they sell it? Why would you sell a great asset like this? The biggest reason is liquidity. And what I find is that most investors need to raise capital because their next deal is coming and they have a great opportunity ahead of them. And so they'll sell off some other assets to raise capital quickly. And that's what happens. And so the notes will get sold at a discount to provide incentive for the sale to happen quickly. Just like a property or a building that's being sold, the same thing can happen. If there's not an urgent need for liquidity, then the seller may want a higher price or stricter terms. And if they're more motivated to sell because the need for liquidity is there, then they're going to be a little more flexible. And there's no right or wrong answer. It just depends on each individual situation. But that's what I find is customary. Now, in the space that I'm in, where we're buying pools of notes from larger institutions, they have the same problem. They have the need for liquidity, and where that when there are liquidity pressures in the marketplace, lots of notes start to get sold into the secondary market, and it creates buying opportunities. So for us note investors, we get good at recognizing those opportunities and being in the position to take advantage of those. And it creates some great returns, great opportunities for investors when that happens.
Well, Fred, this has been a great conversation, and I think everybody found some significant value in everything you've shared with us today.
Thank you.
It's definitely more eye-opening when you talk about becoming the bank. You know, you can't help but notice when you go down the road, the nicest buildings is always the banks.
That's true.
And putting yourself into that position, I can definitely see there'd be a lot of rewards. One last time, it's fredmoskowitz.com. That is going to be a clickable link in the show notes.
Jack, one more thing with that. Fredmoskowitz.com, that's my website. However, if you prefer a little bit of an easier spelling, you can also go to giftfromfred.com, and it will route you right to my website. And once you're there, you can request to receive a free special report that I'm happy to email out to you, and a special report on note investing, getting into a little more detail than what we talked about here today. But I wanted to share that with you. It's a little easier to spell that, giftfromfred.com. And I look forward to connecting with all you listeners out there.
Yeah, that's great. In fact, we probably should have started that off. I have to admit, Fred, your last name is going to be challenging for some people who are listening to the show, but that's going to be a clickable link in the show notes. And if you're ready, Fred, we'll jump into some of the rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
What lie do investors tell themselves and sometimes to others?
This is a great question. This is going to be hard. This investment is going to be hard. It's too hard. They talk themselves out of something before they even started. Why do you need to decide in advance that something is going to be hard, and then you gave up, and then you didn't even try it? You didn't even make an attempt. At least start. Start, get started, surround yourself with the right people to get advice and guidance from, and you'll be able to achieve so much.
Do you have a book recommendation, or what are you reading right now?
Great question. Yeah, book recommendation. I love the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's something I study on a recurring basis, and it's a great book that you can flip to any chapter and read it. It's like 20 pages and benefit from that.
If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Get a mentor right in the beginning. Align yourself with a mentor. Find someone that's successful in the space that you want to be involved in and ask them for help.
What single strategy, process, or tool have you implemented in your business that has had the biggest time-saving impact?
Using a CRM, customer relationship management tool. That is a powerful tool. And when you get a lot of contacts in your database, it's essential to be organized.
Yep. And that will lead me to a self-plug. Check out Real Deal CRM regarding that. And you can even add that necessary automation for that persistent, consistent behavior. So Fred, really appreciate your time. This has been a great conversation. Again, it is fredmoskowitz.com. And that's going to be clickable links, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Have you learned at least one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.